Abundant Life Ministries, where lives are changing. Our pastor, Zinzalay R. Legend, brings you this message. Follow her on Twitter at MyPastorLegend and like Abundant Life Ministries, WLAC, on Facebook. Be blessed.
Father, we just bless you and we praise you because you are an awesome and wonderful God. You are a wonder to behold. We thank you, oh God, that you are real. We thank you that you are alive. We thank you that you are present and in our midst. And we thank you that you have a word for your people on today. Father, just use me as your instrument. Speak through me. Have your way with me. Let them not see me, but you. Let them not hear me, but you. That your word will go forth like a hammer and a flood, that lives on this day will be changed. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. The good that I want to do, I don't do. But the evil that I don't want to do, I keep on doing. Every time I try to do good, evil is present on every hand. Oh, wretched one that I am, who will save me from the law of sin and death? Thank God for Jesus. Anybody thankful for Jesus today? Anybody glad that Jesus saved you one day? Anybody feel to overflowing that Jesus is real today? Now, last week, we talked about yesterday, the day before Palm Sunday. Do you remember that? We went to Mary and Martha and Lazarus' house, and Jesus was being honored there with a meal. Does anybody remember that? Do you remember how Martha was serving, but how Mary poured that expensive perfume on Jesus' feet and then wiped his feet with her hair? Does anybody remember that? Do you remember that the chief priests and the Pharisees were looking for a way to kill Jesus, and now they also wanted to kill Lazarus because as a result of his resurrection, too many people were coming to Jesus? Do you remember yesterday? Well, today is a special day. It's what they call Palm Sunday. And what I need you to understand is today is the only day in Jesus' entire public ministry that he allowed his followers to hail him as king. Don't miss it. Today is the only day in Jesus' public ministry that his followers were allowed to worship him and celebrate him publicly. The one and only day that he came into the city with a regal posture. The one and only day that he himself didn't downplay the fact that he's fully human and fully divine. Anybody thankful for the blood of Jesus? You know, I don't think Christians appreciate the blood. And I think it's a lot of songs about the blood, but it could be most songs about the blood of Jesus. I know it's Palm Sunday, but is it okay if I talk a little bit about the blood? Just give me a minute to just talk about the blood. Because you see, today is the day that Jesus was officially in the home stretch of his purpose. I hope I have somebody praying with me today. Without the shedding of blood, don't you know, there is no forgiveness of sin. So Jesus was heading to the final sacrifice so that God's chosen people could be in a personal relationship with him. In a relationship with him in such a way that no other child of God was able to have previously up to that point. There's something good about the blood of Jesus. Have you ever felt unworthy? Have you ever felt like you didn't deserve the blessings that God has given to you? Have you ever been shocked when you knew you did wrong, but you still saw God blessing you anyway? Have you ever been just blown away at the fact that you know you are steeped in sin, and yet you still see God's hand in your life? I want to know, have you ever been mind blown by the love of God? Has the love of God ever just blown your wig all the way back? That's what today is all about. That's what this week is all about. Getting your mind blown and your wig blown back. We don't have to be worthy. Come on, somebody. We don't have to be worthy. We've been made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. Don't you know that medicine can't heal you? That preacher can't save you. It's by his stripes that we have been made whole. That's good news today, family. That's some mighty good news today. That's something somebody just ought to shout about on today. This day, Jesus enters Jerusalem, and the people hail him as the promised Messiah. The Lord saves. The one who was and is to come. This Palm Sunday 2014, family, I come to you from the theme, Lord and Master of my life. Lord and Master of my life. I'm going to have to get a little personal. I hope you don't mind. On today, we are going to be taking a look at a story that is found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I beseech you to find the gospel of your choosing when you get home and read that story or that interpretation or rendition of it for yourself, because there's a little something different in each and every one of the tellings. But if you don't mind, I'm just going to tell the story and kind of put it all together. Is that all right, family? So Jesus, somebody say Jesus, the Son of God and the Son of Man. Jesus, somebody say Jesus, being fully human and fully divine. Jesus, Mary's baby and the great I am. Jesus gave some instructions to his disciples, and he told them where to go and find a colt and to untie the colt and to bring the colt back to him. And when somebody asks you, what you know with that colt? Tell him it's for the Lord, and he's going to give it right back. So the disciples went and found the colt exactly where Jesus said it would be, along with, well, it was the mother and the colt. So it was the donkey and the colt. And they found both of them together tied up. It was a donkey that had never, ever been ridden before. And when they were about to take, they being the disciples, were about to take the mother and the colt, somebody said, what you doing with that colt? And they said, it's for the Lord, and he's going to bring it right back. And they let them go and take the donkey and the colt along with them. Now, before we go any further, I need you to really wrap your mind around the fact that Jesus is fully human and fully divine, which means that even though he doesn't show his powers like parlor tricks, he does know what's going to happen before it happens, and he does know what you're going to say before you say it, and where you need to find the donkey and the colt, exactly where the donkey and the colt is. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So Jesus, he's not showing off all his powers, but I don't want you to miss the fact that there was power just in the instructions. Are you with me? Can I point out some more power? I don't know if you know much about donkeys, but donkeys are unruly. They hard to train. They not like horses, even though it takes a little time to break a horse. But a donkey takes you to a whole nother level if he's not been trained to be ridden. This donkey had never been ridden, never been defiled by anybody else's hind parts. Stay with me, I'm going somewhere. I'm going to put a pin in that. But you see that already. So the disciples came and got the donkey and the colt, and they cloaked it. They put their cloaks on top of the donkey so that Jesus would not have to touch in any way, shape, or form this animal. And they began to process him into Jerusalem, the holy city of God, where they were about to celebrate. They were preparing in the next week to celebrate the Passover. So people had started migrating into town because they were preparing for the great annual separation or celebration of the Passover. And as Jesus was being brought processed in on the donkey along with the colt, the Bible doesn't say anything about the donkey being unruly, being out of control, being just going crazy as donkeys usually do. The power of God literally was upon the donkey, and the donkey fell in line with the flow of the Spirit of God that was found in the Savior known as Jesus. So as he was headed into Jerusalem, you know the story, the people took off their outer garments and began to place them down so that the donkey who carried the Messiah wouldn't have to touch the ground, because the donkey was now holy because he carried the Messiah. I don't think you understand what I'm saying. You remember when that young man was commissioned to carry the Ark of the Covenant, minister. You remember, it started getting a little He tried to catch it and fell down dead because he did not have the authority to touch the Ark of the Covenant. So the donkey, help me somebody, had become the Ark of the Covenant and could not be defiled by the ground that was under him. I wish I had somebody to help me preach it today. So they were laying palm leaves down on the ground for the donkey to walk on. And they were hailing Jesus, Hosanna, Son of David. They were excited. They worshiped him. They sang with loud voices, Hosanna, Hosanna. They were saying, the Lord saves. Finally, they had an opportunity to worship and to celebrate without hindrance, without limitation. Now, I need you to understand that it's been 3 years that some of the people in the crowd have been following Jesus. A whole lot of things happened in those 3 years. Somebody in the crowd remembered Lazarus being raised from the dead. And they were yelling, Hosanna! Because they know that he was dead for 4 days. But when Jesus got back in town, he called his name and Lazarus came out of the tomb in his death clothes. Somebody in the crowd remembered when the crowd was pressing up against Jesus. They were all trying to get to Jesus and Jesus turned around and said, somebody touched me. They remembered the woman with the 12 years of bleeding. They remember how she had the courage to say, I touched you, Master, it was me. And I've been made whole by the cloak of your garment. Somebody remembered Jairus' daughter. Somebody remembered the centurion's servant. Somebody remembered those 10 lepers. Somebody remembered that boy that was off in the tombs because he had a legion of demons in him. And they remember that Jesus cast those demons out, put them in a herd of pigs, and they went running off the cliff. And those people sent Jesus out of town because they were scared. Somebody remembered. They remembered his teachings. They remembered when they followed him when he was trying to retreat because his cousin had just had his head cut off. But instead of sending them away, he fed them a multitude with a little boy's bag lunch. Somebody was thinking about that when they were crying out, Hosanna, Son of David, who was and is to come. Somebody even remembered that wedding banquet. Somebody remembered when his mother just leaned over and whispered something in his ear. They didn't know what she said, but the next thing you know, they brought out the best wine that they had ever had in their life. Somebody remembered. Somebody thought about when that woman was brought out into the streets, in the city streets, and all the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the chief priests had their stones ready to kill her because she had committed adultery, and Jesus walked up and started writing their sins in the sand. And he said, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. The next thing you know, they dropped their stones, hung their head, and walked in another direction. Somebody thought about that as Jesus was being processed into Jerusalem, as he was being hailed as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Little did they know that somebody in the crowd just 5 days later was going to be in a different crowd crying, crucify him! Crucify him! They didn't know, but guess what? Jesus did. And he allowed them to worship him anyway. But everybody wasn't happy in the crowd. The Pharisees came up to him and said, teacher, listen to what they're saying. You gonna allow them to say this about you? You marrying Joseph's son. What are you? You can't be the King of Kings. You born of carpenter lineage. Jesus said, if they don't praise me, the rocks are gonna cry out. And I think if the rocks were to cry out, you'd be more upset than these people crying out right now. So you let them worship me while they have the chance. And then Jesus and his procession marched right on into Jerusalem and up to the temple. God wants to make sure we have an appreciation this day of worship, that we will worship anywhere and anytime, because you don't know when the time might come that they might create a law that says you can't worship. They already did when they said no prayer in school. Don't you know prayer is worship? They try to take prayer, worship out of the schools. You better worship God while you have a chance. Don't wait till you get in a building called a church. They was out in the street. They was on a dusty road worshiping Jesus because they had the chance. They had been waiting, and he kept saying, don't say anything. Don't tell them who I am. Be quiet. Leave it alone. Just let the chief priest know. Let them check you out, see if you really healed, but don't say a word. But this time, you can worship me. You can call me the Messiah. You can let them know who I really am. So the next day, Jesus, being fully human and fully what? Being fully human and fully divine, went to the temple. Now, when you read the story for yourself, don't think Jesus didn't know what he was walking in on. I just said he fully human and fully divine. Now, he had to go and set it off in the beginning of his ministry. He had to turn over the tables in the beginning of his ministry. But now here we are at the end of his ministry, and the people still don't get it. They still don't understand that it's not okay to bring anything or whatever you think is convenient onto the land that the church is on. Not even into the church. They weren't inside the temple. They were in the temple courts. It's not all right to come onto the church's land with motives that are not of God. So he had to demonstrate in a dramatic way that you better get it together or leave it alone. So he went in tearing stuff up. That's how he looked, knocking over all those tables, turning over all those money. That money. money. And now see, the Jews, they thought they were being convenient because people were traveling in, like I said, to Passover. They coming from all different regions with all different money. And in order to give an offering, you got to give the money of Jerusalem. So they had the little money exchangers there so you could change your money into their money and give your offering. Doesn't that sound convenient? You know what that is? That's one of them good ideas. But it's not a God idea. You with me today? Hallelujah. So he had to do it because he needed to let them know that you will not defile my temple with your good idea. Because serving God is not going to always be convenient. Serving God means you need to plan ahead. You go to the money changer down the road before you get to the temple. You know how some of y'all do. You come up in here with your little $20 and you want the usher to give you change. And then you get your change and you put in a dollar. You know how you do. You're going to inconvenience us when you know your tithe is more than the 20. But yeah, you giving the one. Oh, somebody don't know what I'm talking. Okay, what about y'all who like to come up in here with snacks? Like this the best show. I'm going to have my little juice. I'm going to have my little chips. I'm going to even have my little Snicker bar. And I'm just going to be sitting up in the back, just tang, 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 tang. Like it's the thing to do. Don't you know that when I sit in that seat, I can see each and every one of you? I can see everybody. Just like you see me, I can see you. All right. It's not okay to bring snacks. Because we're supposed to be feeding our spirits, not our flesh, while we're in here. And the bigger lesson to the turning over of the tables in the temple is that Jesus knew in short order the Holy Ghost was going to descend upon every believer and we would become the temple. So he needed us to understand how upset it makes him when we don't treat this temple with love, honor, and respect. Go home and read it for yourself. Jesus was upset. He was angry. Even the disciples didn't understand. Why are you so mad? We never see you get upset except when you come to the temple. They didn't get it because they didn't know the Holy Ghost of God was going to come and live inside of each and every one of the believers. But now that we know, we have a responsibility to make sure we treat the temple just as if it were the Ark of the Covenant. That shall not be defiled by anything unholy. One more. Y'all got time for one more lesson? So that was the triumphal entry was the first day, triumphal entry. The turning over the tables was the second day. And then the third day of Passion Week, they were leaving the city, going to do ministry, no doubt. And on their way, the Bible says Jesus was hungry. And came upon a fig tree. The fig tree that wasn't in season. You see this tree right here? Pretend like it's real. It's no fruit on the tree. Now, Jesus, being fully human and fully what? He already knew that he was going to walk up on the tree and it wasn't going to have fruit. Because you don't even have to be divine to know that it wasn't the season for figs. He knew. But the Bible says that when Jesus saw that the tree didn't have any fruit, he said, I will curse you and you will never bear fruit again. And then they just went on their way. And then the next day they was walking back, going back, headed back to town, and the tree had withered from the roots. It was dead all the way out to the branch. And Peter said, Jesus, look at this tree. Now, Peter, of course, is shocked and amazed. Jesus already knowing. Peter's like, Jesus, look at the tree. You said you was going to curse it, and it really did curse. It can't curse. It's dead. Jesus, the tree is dead. And Jesus said, have faith in God. Believe and do not doubt. ask whatever you want and it will be given to you. Jesus used every moment to teach his disciples something. And one of the things he wanted them to learn about that fig tree is that we have the power and the authority to speak whatever we want into existence. Whether we are binding or loosing, we have the power and the authority to do it. And if they didn't believe it just yet, once they got in that room, I'm jumping ahead to Acts now, but once they got in that house and that Holy Ghost came down upon them, that's when they started putting things together and realizing we really do have the power and the authority to do anything. So God wants us to understand on this Palm Sunday that he is worthy of our worship, that we've got to worship him wherever and whenever just because he's God. He wants us to remember that we cannot defile this temple and think that he will still be pleased with us. We have got to walk, number three, in the authority that we can speak it and believe it and it's done. There's just a few more lessons God wants us to get today. Is it okay if I go there right now? Life. The life of Jesus brings about many lessons. It's no accident or coincidence that pretty much the only thing we know about Jesus is his public ministry. Now, we know when he was born, and he was born in a barn, in a manger. They laid him in a manger. We know there was no room for them in the inn. We know about that, amen, because Jesus wants us to know, God through Jesus wants us to know how he came to be, amen, somebody? We know that when he was about 12, he left the caravan that was headed back to Nazareth and was teaching in the temple, and 3 days later, his parents found him there and asked him, what was he doing? And he said, I had to be about my father's business. But there's not a whole lot else that we know about Jesus' private life. You don't hear me, you social media addicts. You don't hear me. We don't know nothing about his 30 years. It's next to nothing. It amounts to nothing that we know until he wanted us to know. His life was private until his ministry became public. Some of y'all got it twisted up in here. You putting too much business on Facebook and Instagram talking about your life and ain't saying nothing about your ministry. Flip it. Stop sharing so much about your private life and start sharing a little bit more about your public ministry. Last time I checked, he said, we taking his word to the world. He didn't say, you taking your life to the world. You know, I don't participate in all of that, but, you know, every now and then I'll go and look at somebody something or other. I get so tired of seeing people's nasty tattoos and what they decided to eat that day and what they wore to the club. I get so sick of looking at all of that. You got something better you can put on your Facebook. The word of God. The ministry of the gospel. What you're doing in his name. Oh, you ain't doing nothing in his name. That's why you ain't got nothing to say. Flip it. Leave your life private. Make your ministry public. The second thing is his love. We've been talking about that all day. We've been singing about it, shouting about it, running about it. He loves me so sweetly. He does. And we need to really understand, not just during Passion Week, but every single day, that if it had not been for God, whether we acknowledge it or not, we wouldn't even have what we have. We're so busy complaining about what we want that we're not thankful for what we got. And God said, I ain't gonna bless you with more till you praise me with what you have right now. Because if you look around you, you got it better than somebody else. If you didn't have to sleep on the street last night, you got it good. If you were able to put something in your stomach yesterday, you got it good. If you were able to walk into this church and raise your hand, you got it good. If you were able to open up your mouth and say, thank you, Jesus, you got it good. It's because of the love of Jesus that we have it as good as we have it. So stop disrespecting your Savior by not being thankful for what he's already blessed you with, and get to thanking him and praising him and worshiping him and magnifying him because he's been good to you. Thank you for getting it. Thank you for getting it. I don't know if they got it or not, but you got it. We're going to pray they get it. Did anybody other than Mama Free get it? His love is unconditional. It has no limits. It never leaves us. It never forsakes us. His love looks beyond our faults and meets our needs. His love provides with us, for us, even when we can't see the provision. I'm trying to tell you, my daughter and I came to church today on fumes. We had no money. We had no gas. I looked in the bank account, $5.90. We had to stop at the gas station and put $5 in the tank. You know that's barely 1 gallon. That's right. We made it. We made it. We didn't have to call you, champion, and say, come help us out. We made it. Oh, you don't understand. Somebody ought to be a little bit more excited about the love of Jesus. Because, see, I'm trying not to go to the cross because we're going to get there soon enough. But even before you get to the cross, you ought to be able to see how good your Jesus is and how much he loves you. If you got a testimony about your salvation, you ought to be excited today because you wasn't always saved. You were always promised, though. You was always promised. You didn't know you was promised. But now you know, even before I got saved, there was a promise over my life because God chose me before I was in this body to be his child. And all I have to do is be thankful. Because I don't know who else is chosen, but I know I am. And you ought to have that same conviction. I know I ain't going to hell. I know I could break down this church and never come back again. I could go out there, start selling my body, selling some drugs, get out there, start stealing cars. And guess what? I'm still going to heaven. I'm still going to get in. But because he's been so good to me, I ain't going down that road. I will never go down that road because he's been so good. The last lesson of his life, we said his life, his love, and his legacy. Jesus left a legacy that we are still reaping the benefits of. We still riding on the coattail of to this day. He is still alive, and we are living in that truth. His legacy is that he may have died, but he didn't stay dead, and we are living to live again. We get so caught up in this world with the physical death, but everybody's got to go through that door at some point in time. We ought to be more concerned about how we live in here, because that's going to determine how we live in eternity. And I know some of you can't wrap your minds around eternity because it's just too long. But I can tell you one thing. I'm so glad I'm not going to be in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. Amen. I'm so glad that no matter what happens, I'm going to get in. I'm so glad that Jesus left me a story that has become my story. His story is mine. my story. When the Lord told me to prepare to come before you today, he said, you ain't got nothing to worry about. Just tell your story. This is your history. This is your Jesus. All you have to do is let him know what you know about him. I'm trying to tell you, he is the Lord and master of my life. I'm trying to tell you, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords of my life. And I love him so much, I wish I could tell it all. I can't explain to you exactly how much I love him. I wish I could take you into my relationship with the Lord and show you how good I am. Spoiled. I'm so spoiled. I'm his favorite. He is just so patient with me. He's there with me every single time I wake up in the morning. Don't you know, yesterday, God is so good. Yesterday, I woke up in a full-out laugh. You ever woke up just laughing? I had a funny dream, and I just woke up laughing. It felt good to wake up laughing, because I remember the day when I woke up crying, when I woke up confused, when I woke up disheartened and not sure what I'm supposed to do with myself or my life. But he gave me a purpose, and I'm going to live it out to the best of my ability. He gave me a reason to live, and I want to live to the best of my ability, because I know what Jesus has done for me. I know what Jesus has brought me from. I know how good he has been even before I had breath in this body, and I'm going to live my life for him. Does anybody else know what I'm talking about? Because, you know, there are times in our life when we're just going to feel unworthy. It's times. It's going to be times in our life when we're not going to feel like we deserve God's blessings. That's a part of being human. But I don't know if you know this or not. You are fully human and fully divine. Because the Holy Ghost of God lives on the inside of you. So now you have the same power that Jesus had as he walked about the earth. You ought to be glad about it, because we've been made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. Isn't it good to know that we don't have to worry about saving ourselves? That it's not about works? That it's not about how good I can be? Isn't it good to know that he saved us because he already had chosen us, predestined us? We are a people belonging to God. Now, Jesus wasn't able to bask in the glory of the celebration for long. He didn't even get a full 24 hours to be able to bask in the worship that the people had placed before him, because people still hated him. They were still plotting against him. They still wanted him dead. And people still had lessons they needed to learn before he was separated from them. Now, here's a truth I don't want you to let get past you. Very often, family, in the midst of our greatest triumphs, we get thrown into our biggest trials. Don't think it's strange that while you basking in the glory of God and the blessings that he has given to you and what he's poured out upon you, that here come a storm right behind you that's going to try to steal your joy, take your peace, and make you forget how God has blessed you. But what you need to understand is that in this life, we must have balance. Somebody say balance. Because God requires humility. And the only way that we're going to be able to achieve balance and humility is if we go through some things. We've got to be tested. If we only had good days, we would take God for granted. If we only had bad days, we would lose our hope. So understand that in everyone's life, a little rain must fall. We must learn how to be thankful no matter what season we're in. Because if he is Lord and Master, we know it's going to be all right in the by and by. We need to learn how to value our challenges. We need to stop going around complaining about them, being all down in the dumps and acting like ain't nobody got the kind of problems I got. And we need to be thankful for our challenges, because we need to flip it and say, God, how you gonna get me through this? I can't see the way out, but I know you know the way out, and I'm gonna follow you. Come what may, I'ma do what you say do. Don't you know, family, it's the trials, it's the struggles, it's the pressings, it's the storms, it's the challenges that mold us into who God desires for us to be. So don't shrink back when you're in a Gethsemane moment, because that's when you prove who you really are. The Bible says God bound us to disobedience so that he could show his mercy. Somebody say, thank God for mercy. Family, today ushers us into the passion of Christ. Jesus at his best, the culmination of his purpose. This is the most important week for every Christian, for whether they realize it or not. We have an opportunity to journey through this week with our Savior and make him our Lord and our Master. He's our Savior because he saved us. He becomes Lord and Master when we decide to live our lives for him. When we decide to let him reign in us. We have 1 week left, family. Somebody say 1 week. 1 week left of our fast. 1 week left to be changed. 1 week left to be transformed. 1 week left to participate in the sacrifices and the sufferings of Jesus. One more week to remember why he is Lord and Master of our lives. Use this week, this last week of Lent, to go deeper and higher in him. Don't you know the Lord has moved mightily in this Lenten season, just as he promised he would. New jobs, new car, no high cholesterol. God is doing extraordinary things in the life of his faithful children. He has proven himself to be God. He has proven that he's worthy of our praise. Am I right about it? And he's proven that there's nothing impossible with God. But let me tell you something. If you feel like you didn't get the full benefit of your fast, like you didn't see the miracles of God running through your life like they've been running through mine, the good news is you still got time. There's 1 week left. Hallelujah. You can step up your fast. If you haven't been fasting, you can start a fast. You can turn something down, turn something off, and decide to live your life for him. Don't miss out on the benefits, because they're being poured out into the atmosphere. The only reason why you don't catch it is if your container is closed. How you gonna catch some rainwater with a container that has a lid on it? It's time to take that lid off and just let your container be open. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Decide you're going to put him first. Decide you're going to live your life for him. Decide that you're going to do some things differently. Decide that you're going to let go of some toxic relationships. Decide that you're going to start making yourself better and more available for your Jesus. Decide that he is worthy, that you have nothing to be ashamed of, and then start declaring in your life that a change has come. Start declaring in your life that you are no longer the same. Start declaring in your life that I've been made brand new, that I've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. I wish you could help me today. I wish I had somebody ready to go with me on today. Is anybody ready to declare, I'm living my life for Jesus? No turning back. No turning back. Start declaring the word in your life. Start speaking the word over your finances, your relationships, your situations, your circumstances. Just start speaking the word over it and watch the word blossom in your life. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. be lifted up, ye ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. He is.